You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We never fully appreciated just how much of a warrior Kyle Long truly was. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we're going through the latest story from The Athletic, detailing Kyle Long's extensive injury battles throughout his career with some inside stories that we hadn't heard while he was still a member of the team. But we'll also talk about some of the remaining depth on the Bears' offensive line and the lack of any real kicker competition thus far. Everyone remembers the frequency of Kyle Long's injuries, really over the final four seasons of his career. He was never able to play more than 10 games in a season since 2016, and it all ended after just four games in 2019. His last game played was against the Raiders in London. But what so often happens in the NFL and among fan bases across the league is how easily we can forget about the people behind the players and some of the struggles that come with not only any individual injury, but consecutive injuries and very serious injuries when it came to Kyle Long. And over at The Athletic, Dan Pompey wrote just a brilliant in-depth feature in basically overviewing Kyle Long's entire career. He talks about all the different times he dislocated fingers, where the fingers were lying back on his wrist or had just bent completely the wrong way. Or he talked about the time when players would roll up on his legs and he was screaming in pain on the field in a way that he had never felt before, and how he felt so dedicated to fight through any injury he could, and a message from his father about if you can run, you can play, and how many times he played through so many different things, even before we even knew about it. Sometimes, you know, the eight games that he did play in those seasons were all games played while injured, and how many different surgeries he battled through and how many different times he was not playing at 100%, sort of as we suspected when his level of play started coming downhill a bit. But it really is a sad story of what could have been with Kyle Long, but positive in the sense that he's in a good place now, being able to look back on it. And he didn't even necessarily close the door on football forever. He left it cracked open ever so slightly. But I thought there was a really good example of a great exchange with Ryan Pace in the story, where Kyle Long is talking about how he was doing back in 2016. The Bears had been practicing with the Patriots in Foxborough as part of joint training camp practices that summer. He'd kind of been in a contract negotiations, and during that preseason and then going into the game against the Patriots, he ended up feeling his arm yanked across his body and couldn't really keep putting any strength into that left arm. He couldn't even load his duffel bag into the overhead bin on the airplane. And the next day, you know, he gets it checked out by the doctors. He said he has a torn labrum. And Long, of course, was kind of getting emotional. And some people, you know, in his life were telling him to get surgery and sit out the years. You know, his dad was sort of emphasizing to play through it if he can. And so Ryan Pace talked to Kyle Long about it. And Kyle Long said, quote, "He looked at me and said, 'Kyle, I want you to know we're not going to forget this. We're going to take care of you. Do what you can do. That's enough. We've got your back.'" And then before the start of that regular season is when the Bears signed him to that four-year contract extension worth $40 million. And I really think it speaks to the kind of relationship Ryan Pace has with his players and some of the positive messaging and leadership that they see from that team, that yes, they endorsed Kyle Long playing through the injury, but rewarded him for that and rewarded him for everything he had played through up to that point. And, you know, in hindsight, giving Kyle Long 4 years and $40 million in 2016 proved to probably be a poor decision in terms of him not being able to play a full season at any point beyond then. But in that moment, it really said a lot about the Bears general manager and how the Bears felt about Kyle Long as a member of their offensive line, as a leader of this team. So I thought that was a great moment that Kyle was able to share that we hadn't really heard about before then. Because GMs will talk, have talked before about, oh, yeah, we'll take care of you, trust us. And sometimes the general manager changes their mind and circumstances change. And sorry, that contract I promised you that we hadn't actually agreed to, well, I changed my mind. But Ryan Pace did not. He followed through and he signed him to that contract extension, you know, at age 28 as he was coming down towards the end of his rookie deal. And overall, I think Kyle Long had a pretty good perspective on everything he had been through, understanding that he got two or three chances as he was coming back from injuries and felt fortunate to be able to play as much as he did play, even though it didn't go exactly the way he wanted to and certainly didn't end the way he wanted to. He even admitted he probably didn't try as hard as he could have in terms of taking care of his body and training at maximum capacity, but he sure as hell fought through more than a lot of other players do in their careers. And for that, Kyle Long will be sorely missed in Chicago. His retirement, as we've known for a while, will mean a new starting right guard for week one. And the Bears' offensive line as a whole has seemed to change quite a bit in terms of the backups and the whole depth, taking some new faces in a very short period of time. We'll assess where this team stands, in particular where the backup center position seems to be a little bit missing in action, next on Locked On Bears. If you want to be a true warrior like Kyle Long, then I highly suggest you add Built Bars into your diet. Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars ever. And I'm not just saying that. Literally, before I started recording this episode of the podcast, I just ordered myself another box because I need more. I can't stop. They're so good. I've had at least one a day for the last 3 weeks. I haven't had a flavor that I don't like. And it's great because they're healthy. They're good for you. Most flavors only have 110 calories. They all have at least 15 grams of protein. They're low in sugar. They're low in carbs. They're high in fiber. But they really do have the taste and consistency of a candy bar, but it's got all the nutrient ingredients of a protein bar. And right now, you can get $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, for $10 off your first order. Life after Kyle Long on this Chicago Bears offensive line won't look too much different when it comes to the week one starting lineup. Could be Jermaine Ifedi plugging in at right guard, or it could be Rashad Coward if he can win that competition. But other than that, it'll be the same four starters surrounding that right guard position. Maybe James Daniels will be at left guard, maybe James Daniels will be at center, but for the most part, it will be a familiar-looking offensive line. But what has changed quite a bit fairly recently and frequently is the backup offensive lineman. I know it's a relatively minor thing over the course of a season. You would like to not have to rely on any of those players. But as we've seen, both with Kyle Long and with Bobby Massey at times, and you know, there's been some changes the Bears have had to make at offensive line in recent years, sometimes due to injury, sometimes due to inconsistency, at times your backup lineman will be called into action. Gone is Cornelius Lucas. Replacing him is Jason Spriggs from the Green Bay Packers, who was a well-liked draft prospect. I was a big fan of Jason Spriggs coming out of Indiana. I thought he had a lot of potential to be a high-quality left tackle in the NFL. He's had some injuries of his own and hasn't quite adapted to the league's strength, and his technique hasn't quite come along the way you would have liked it to after 3 years in the NFL, or excuse me, 4 years in the NFL. But he can be a fine swing tackle, sure. And then at the guard positions, you know, if the loser of the Ifedi Coward competition, I suppose, can be your backup guard, then Alex Bars is in that conversation as well. The Bears used 2 7th-round picks on offensive linemen, both of whom seem more like developmental prospects that we can't exactly rely on to contribute in 2020. But I'm left wondering what the Bears' plan is exactly for a backup center. Last season, they had Ted Larson as a veteran who could really be interchangeable on the interior. He was the backup center, and he was also ready to step in as a backup guard as well. And that was, I think, a fairly welcome sight. And you know, the year before that, it was James Daniels' rookie season where he kind of started out as the backup guard center, eventually took over for Eric Cush, who then also could be that true backup guard center hybrid. But when I look at this roster and this offensive line depth chart in particular right now, there is no one on this team that has any significant NFL experience on the interior offensive line as a potential backup, certainly not at center specifically. I mean, right now there is Sam Mustipher, who was an undrafted rookie free agent last year with Alex Bars coming out of Notre Dame. And both of those Notre Dame prospects, of course, were coached by the Bears' last offensive line coach, Harry Hiestand, who is no longer with the team. So I think they have a bit less job security than they might have with the previous coaching staff. But Mustipher spent, I believe, the entire season or most of the season on the practice squad and was never called up to the active roster. And the only other player on the roster that has any sort of experience that will likely make him, at least for now, the front runner to be the backup center is Corey Levin. And I'm not even sure if it's Levin or Levine. It's L-E-V-I-N. And if you've never heard of him, that's not surprising because he joined the Bears toward the later half of last season. He was on the Denver Broncos practice squad for 2019. He spent his first two seasons with the Tennessee Titans. He was a sixth-round pick out of Chattanooga, a small college, of course, in Tennessee. And he has played a little bit of center in his NFL career. He is sort of this guard-center hybrid, but he's 25 years old, has one career start under his belt, and is not necessarily someone that I feel super comfortable at this point having to rely on him for any extended period of time on the interior. So perhaps the Bears could be sort of planning for a, you know, if they have an injury at center, that whoever is not at center between James Daniel and Cody Whitehair would then make that move over there and be sort of the backup center who's already in the starting lineup. I could see that being sort of their go-to plan there because Levin has 140 NFL snaps in the regular season, all in 2018 with the Tennessee Titans. Made one start at left guard and then played a significant portion of one game at center as well, but otherwise has kind of been that hybrid backup there. And not a guy that has much experience at all to fall back on. So it feels like the Bears are, I don't want to say playing with fire, but at least I still have some question marks about the experience of this offensive line depth. You know, I think if you end up kind of having Spriggs as your spring tackle, I can live with that. And if it's Coward or Effetti as your backup guard, or maybe you keep Alex Bars in there, I'm okay with that. But Corey Levin and Sam Mustipher competing to be your backup center is a concern for me, and I wouldn't necessarily want to have to make a position switch for either of my young guys between Daniel and Whitehair if one of them got hurt. Those guys have done so much moving back and forth over the last few seasons. I'd like to be able to just pick something this summer and say, James Daniels is my left guard, Cody Whitehair is my center, and leave them there almost no matter what. You know, you never say never, but really make sure you find where you want to use them and leave them there so they can truly master and just hone in on one position and not have to learn multiple things, because I think we've seen both of them struggle as a result of previously having been moved around so much. I think center is just another one of those positions that the Bears are hoping competition can breed some consistency and at least one quality candidate out of the group. But I'm surprised that competition mindset doesn't seem to have quite applied as much at the kicker position, where it doesn't feel like Eddie Pinheiro has any real threat to his job at this point. We'll look at where that position stands and what type of veteran free agents are still available next on Locked On Bears. By this time last year, we had seen close to a dozen kickers come through the doors of Halas Hall, and ultimately, I think by May 22nd, we were probably down to three, with Pinheiro and Fry really being the two main front runners. But then you may remember before they had kind of trimmed down fully, we were still wondering what the future was going to hold for Chris Blewett. But ultimately, Redford Jones was in that discussion as well. I mean, just a laundry list of names at their kicker position. And we don't have to go through all of that again. But I'm surprised the Bears haven't taken more tangible steps toward adding some more competition for Eddie Pinheiro. There are two kickers under contract right now. We talked a little bit about the story behind the kicker they signed, Ramiz Ahmed, who hasn't really kicked over the last couple of years at a professional level. He was a kicker at Nevada who came out of college just two or three years ago, like 2018, I think, was his last season, and has kind of been out of football since then. But the Bears put him through a workout this past winter, and I think he had won a kicking – he had been at like a kicking camp that the Bears often scout at, and he impressed enough to be the kicker that they brought in as, you know, a cheap veteran minimum type contract, but feels more like a true camp leg than an actual competitor to Eddie Pinheiro, considering, again, he's never kicked in the NFL and hasn't kicked since 2018 in college, and even in college wasn't phenomenal. I mean, it wasn't over the top. He was, I would say, in terms of like field goal percentages, a fairly average college kicker, and an average college kicker doesn't usually make it very long in the NFL. So I don't see Ahmed necessarily, unless the Bears really know something about him that the rest of the league doesn't. It doesn't seem like Ramiz Ahmed has a great shot here. And not that Eddie Pinheiro was terrible last season by any means. I mean, 82% of his field goals, 93% of his extra points, and did some kickoffs with mixed results, and, you know, was 2 for 2 from 50 plus, but missed a few too many in that 40 to 49 range that you'd like to see. I mean, he was okay, but you could do better and certainly could do worse. It was more consistency than maybe we had anticipated, but not quite stellar at the kicker position either. And the Bears talk so much about the value of competition now at the quarterback position and every position, and feeling like they need guys to feel a little bit of that pressure to in order to push themselves to get better. And yet it doesn't necessarily feel like Eddie Pinheiro has that on his depth chart right now. But it's not as though the Bears have no other options left to sign as a veteran kicker. You know, by May, it's not stellar, and it was not a stellar free agent kicker class as a whole. You know, the Cowboys signed Greg Zuerlein from the Rams. They had also brought back Kai Forbath, I believe, for a competition there. The Vikings gave kicker Dan Bailey a fairly significant contract extension. But you may remember Steven Gostkowski from the New England Patriots was released this offseason. He was making, a pretty decent chunk of change in New England, and they didn't want to keep paying him that much. And they were making some other pretty big changes at the time, too. So might as well, right? But Gostkowski remains unsigned. And he's sort of indicated he's just going to wait until training camp and sign somewhere, either for a kicker competition or wait for somebody to get hurt. And I don't know that the Bears will realistically sign somebody like Gostkowski. I imagine he's looking for a better opportunity and perhaps more money than the Bears might be able to provide him. But other guys out there, Ryan Succop, most recently with the Tennessee Titans. Nick Folk had spent some time with the Patriots last season, although he's had some inconsistency as well. And for Jonathan Brown, formerly of the Jacksonville Jaguars, another name, just more NFL experience than Ramiz Ahmed. And it's nothing against Ramiz Ahmed, you know, but he just seems like the kind of kicker we would have seen the Bears brought in when Robbie Gould was here, where you take a chance on a young guy knowing that he doesn't really have a shot, right? Because you're good with the kicker that you have. You know, you got your veteran, but take a chance on a young kicker and get him in your training camp and with your team, so then if you have a kicker injury or eventually need to move on from the kicker you have, you got a little bit of advanced intel on him and might be able to find a little bit of a hidden gem there. But that's not the situation the Bears are in right now. I mean, they could use a kicker, not necessarily to say, oh, the Bears need to upgrade from Eddie Pinheiro, but just a legitimate competition to where if Pinheiro takes a step back, because we haven't seen him consistently long-term because he's just been so young in his career, we don't know how long Pinheiro will continue to play at such a high level. It feels like the Bears should have some other option that you could feel a little bit more reliant on than Ramiz Ahmed. Again, nothing against Ahmed himself. I'm sure he's a fine young lad. He's got a very interesting story, actually, but I sure would feel that better with the likes of Gostkowski, Succop, or even just Nick Folk, or, you know, if Elliott Fry were available, you know, that type of name, where, again, Fry's not a surefire, guaranteed hit at the kicker position. I mean, he lost Eddie Pinheiro last season for a reason, but he's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now, and, you know, he's not truly available, but he wasn't claimed off of waivers until the beginning of just this month. He had spent the rest of the offseason with the Carolina Panthers, but there was an opportunity to add somebody like Elliott Fry back at any point in this offseason, and the Bears have declined to do so when they're still sitting with 9 tight ends on the roster. And we already talked about how there's no reason to still have nine tight ends on the roster. So it's not as though, oh, the 90-man roster is just so full and there's no room to carry another kicker of value, because they already are carrying a second kicker, and they could be carrying a second kicker that just has a little bit more of a realistic chance. Even I would feel like the same thing at the punter position. Not that they need to upgrade from Pat O'Donnell. They have just recently given him a contract extension. But like we talked about with Robbie Gould, just get another punter in there so that if O'Donnell gets hurt or for some reason just completely falls off and you have to make a punter change for some reason, you at least have another name in your Rolodex that was with your team in the offseason, taking up a roster spot when it really doesn't matter. You're not going to miss that 89th or 88th spot on the roster, and at least it's another leg to keep Pat O'Donnell fresh in the preseason, so he doesn't have to be doing all the kicks. He doesn't have to be doing all the punts. I mean, at practice, I guess they can use a, you know, one of the machines, that the jugs-type machine that just shoots the ball all the way downfield, but regardless, some competition at every position can only be a good thing, as Matt Nagy has continued to emphasize this season, but that true competition doesn't seem to exist anywhere on special teams at this point. I know it's just special teams, but the Bears sure made special teams important last offseason, and maybe they just like it better this way to keep that quiet for a change. But no matter what the Bears end up doing on the offensive line, with replacing Kyle Long, with their backup center, with their kicker competition, you know we'll be breaking it all down for you here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you subscribe so you're keeping up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'll be back next week with more of that Bears content you crave. Trying to get in touch with our friend Mark Schofield to go in on a little bit more Trubisky talk and maybe bring on a fantasy football analyst or two to look at how these Bears skill position players might stack up from an opportunity and a volume production standpoint. So we're not going anywhere. We'll still give you your Bears fix, your little bit of an escape from the rest of the world that is slowly getting closer and closer to having sports back. I know the state of Illinois is getting closer to opening back up. A lot of other states have already started to open back up as well. I hope you are keeping safe and healthy. I hope you're able to have a great weekend. And I hope you still find some time to bear down.